proposed budget. Not that needs reminding, but this is a time for the public to weigh in on the budget that's been proposed and has been published in the newspapers. So, in other words, this is the people's hearing. I'm going to open this up for public hearing. And are there any citizens wishing to speak regarding, or did you want to go through the presentation first? Is
that is usually what we do.
Okay.
In advance of the public hearing comments.
Okay. So, Liberta, perhaps you can tell us who your guest is with us tonight. I believe this is his first budget. He's no longer a guest.
Political poll.
I'm Mark Whelan.
And your name is?
Mike here for public hearing.
Right on the site. Can't miss it.
Good evening. I'm Mark Liberta. I'm Director of Administration for the City of Franklin. And Paul is the Deputy Finance Director. He will be helping answer questions that may come up. I would start with, just reading the top portion of the summary of revenue and expenditures as part of the public hearing notice. The Common Council of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, will hold a public hearing on Monday, November 5th, 2012, at 6:30 p.m., or soon thereafter, as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers, 929 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, for the purpose of hearing any citizen or taxpayer on the proposed 2013 city budget. Summary of the proposed budget is published herewith, and a copy of the complete proposed budget will be available for public inspection at the office of the City Clerk, City of Franklin, City Hall, Monday through Friday, 30 a.m. to 5 p.m., holidays accepted, at the Franklin Public Library, following the date of this notice, and is on the City of Franklin website, dated at Franklin, Wisconsin, this 18th day of October 2012. What I would like to do is run through a PowerPoint presentation that summarizes the budget and its main purposes. For those of you who participated in the Committee of the Whole review and portion, this presentation will look eerily similar. So I apologize if it's too similar for you, but it does summarize the budget well. If I'm going too quickly, Mayor, please slow me down. Otherwise, there'll be plenty of time for questions as part of the public hearing. Budget, according to our ordinances, is the financial plan for conducting the affairs of the city. So the budget is as much about the services that we provide as it is about the revenues that we collect and the expenses that we anticipate. So to that end, the most important fact that one can say about the proposed 2013 city budget is that its intent is to preserve the city services in their current form. And it provides staffing levels, and while preserving those services, it maintains staffing levels that department heads and gives them the tools they need to continue to improve efficiencies and meet their core current services. Nonetheless, those services must be viewed in the context of the taxes the residents and the businesses must pay for those services. The departmental budget request is where the budget process for the mayor and the common council begins. And when that started, it's worth noting that initially departments submitted requests that were created what would have been about an $817,000 shortfall. And with some other changes that occurred right around the same time as we got additional information from the state, we were looking at a tax rate increase up to over $6 to $6.02, which would have been a 4% tax rate increase. So our challenge was to figure out how to maintain our current services and while taking that tax rate of a need of a 4% increase and maintaining the tax rate and getting it down to no increase. And in fact, that's whether you call it the big picture, the bottom line, the budget in a nutshell, whatever you want to call it, what the proposed 2013 budget does is it presents a financial plan that preserves our current services, and there is not a tax rate increase. It's actually a decrease, but it's only a tenth of a percent, but there is no tax rate increase. It is it maintains the taxes or actually decreases them. So what I'll run through is a little more discussion on property taxes. We'll talk about expenditures and revenues by fund. I'll explain that a little bit as we get to it, but that is the part of what the state statutes and our ordinances expect us to present and prepare the budgets by. We'll talk some about services and then at the end summarize the primary initiatives and highlights of the budget. We have, when I mentioned funds, the city does separate its budget into 10 different funds listed there on the side. I won't read them all to you, but we'll talk about each one of those very briefly as we go through this topic. It's just a way of separating the accounting of the financing of the city's operations. The assessed value, the tax levy increase, is limited to new growth. That's part of the state statutes. Our property valuation of January 1st of last year was just over $3.5 billion. We had new construction of about $19 million, which is about a little over half of a percent increase. There was some decrease in other areas and some manufacturing, and sometimes there's properties that are torn down. There was about a quarter of a percent reduction. And so our new valuation has just about a third of a percent increase. Despite those being accurate numbers for our valuation, the state actually informs us of what our growth number is, and their calculations, which is the official number that we use, show a net new construction at 0.63%. So that's the cap at which property taxes are allowed to increase. How did ours actually change? You can see there in the circled area at the bottom, departments had requested a 4% increase in property taxes in order to fund current activities. Through the mayor's work and his submission to the Common Council, and then some changes at the Common Council, at the Committee of the Whole level indicated, the property tax rate change is down 0.1%. So the net change in property tax, total tax levy collected, is 0.2%. So it's that 0.2% that compares against the state tax limit, collection limit for us, of the 0.63 that was on the prior slide. So as you can see, we're well under what is the allowable change. In fact, in the general fund, the expenditures for 2013 have gone down by 0.4% from where they were in 2012. And in the general fund, the revenues are equal to expenditures, so there's no net change in fund balance. So this budget isn't using fund balance to support current activities. It's all being done with current year revenue. So the proposed budget, it's important to note that it will continue to meet the city's requirements so that we can be eligible for the expenditure restraint program, which is a nice revenue source. But nonetheless, the state is... in their continued way in which they calculate that, we do end up taking a hit this year of about $159,000 in that revenue source. The general fund, in fact, had a number of revenue impacts that we had to address. The primary ones are all listed there. The expenditure restraint went down by $159,000. We do have some positive numbers in the motel room tax, the cable TV franchise fee, the utility tax equivalent, transportation aids that the state controls have also been reduced, $36,000. There was a police department grant that what is able to be included. Permits and licenses in general have a moderate increase. Court fines and fees are up. Interest earnings continue to be falling. One of the reasons that, although if you're familiar with your own savings and whatnot, you may have noticed that over the last year, interest rates have maybe have stabilized some. They've obviously gone way down. One of the things we're seeing, there's really two primary impacts, which is a change in delinquency on property tax payments, which reduced the amount of money we had in certain cash flow areas, reduced the numbers. And the other is some investments that we've had for existing fund balance that were earning higher rates of interest from 2008 and 2009 before the economy changed. Those financial devices have come due, and the reinvestment of them is at today's current lower rate. So that's why we continue to see a reduction. Running quickly through each of the different funds that I had identified that the city has, the library fund has revenues of about $1.3 million. Their tax levy is being allowed to increase $18,000. So that's $18,000 out of the total citywide property tax levy increase of just $42,000. In order, at the bottom of the screen there, you can see in order to fit their budget, they are using some of their available fund balance. In the solid waste collection fee, this is what pays for refuse and recycling pickup. Probably the most important thing to note there is that the budget is set up such that there is no rate increase for 2013 in the user fee. So this is the fund balance and the current funding amount, which I believe is the $104, is able to absorb all of the costs of moving recycling to the CART program that was instituted this fall. The sanitary sewer fund, this is largely expenditures of MMSD, and rates are adjusted based on MMSD charges, and is not very significantly in the city's control, since MMSD sets their own budget by their own budget mechanism. The capital outlay fund is what the city uses to buy its equipment for its departments that by accounting means should be capitalized. The revenue is a little over $500,000 at $559,000. That does include, as has, was our practice for this year, $100,000 of landfill siting revenue, and then tax levy of $394,000, which is $10,000 more than the current year. Departments had requested capital equipment of about $838,000. What is incorporated in the budget is about $683,000, most of which, or the biggest chunk of which, is for public safety, which had about a 12% increase this year. General government uses a smaller total share, but there was some increase of $33,000 this year, and public works. The fund itself as a whole, at the bottom of the screen there, it does use about $124,000 of the fund balance, but there's still $176,000 anticipated to be left in the fund at the end of the year. So what that shows is that about almost 20% of department requests were eliminated from the proposed budget. The Equipment Replacement Fund is a sort of a special capital fund that's used to track vehicles, larger purchases, vehicles and larger pieces of equipment, so that we can fund them in the long term, and as they wear out, they can be replaced. The main thing you see happening in the fund there for 2013 is the purchase of a new ambulance and three pieces of DPW equipment, at a total of $403,000. The fund is in fairly good health. It is about 70% funded at the full funding value needed for all of the pieces of equipment that are tracked within the fund. Street Improvement Fund, similarly, is a another type of capital fund that we use to ensure that we're maintaining adequate resources toward maintaining our streets, infrastructure such as streets are primary thing local government has to look to maintain, and ensuring you're doing a nice job and long-term funding of that keeps you from finding yourself having to do large projects in future years. Our fund balance remains at about $500,000 after what is nearly $800,000 of projects proposed for next year, which is about $158,000 more than the current year. Continues to use landfill siting revenue of $200,000 and tax levy of $610,000, which is just a slight increase over the current years. This year, we don't use any local road improvement aids because that is a revenue source that comes every other year, so we'll see that $78,000 probably again next year. The debt service fund, we do have a decrease in the tax levy requirements of $100,000. This fund does receive a transfer from impact fees that moved to pay the borrowings that were used for the largely library and police station they were built. There's also some road program in there. So that's paying off the borrowing that was done at that time. Out of debt service, we have $620,000 in principal payments with about $400,000 in interest payments. And there are some inter-fund loans that that are being paid back to this fund. It's worth noting there's just short of $12 million in outstanding GO debt, which is dramatically lower than the allowable level of debt for a city of our size. And of that, $8.8 million of it is remaining is due on the library and police station. I will just point out, when I gave this presentation the first time, I hadn't broken the 8.8 out, and I had reported the 11.9 as the amount on the library and police station. And so I'll correct that for the alderman, that's the 8.8 is just the library and police station portion. The Capital Improvement Fund, that's where the city does its larger projects typically. In this year, we had requests for $6.5 million. There's $1.5 million proposed. The primary ones are CDBG, which is a community development block grant, has been funding a sidewalk on the east side of 51st Street from Clare Meadows up to Rawson Avenue to provide access to the commercial and a retail area there. Pleasant View Trail support the grant projects that the Common Council looked at earlier this fall. The second half of Fire Station 1 roof repair, replacement of an antiquated financial software system, police video system, and there's contingency of $50,000 in that fund as well. The Development Fund, I'll note for the Common Council, this fund was added since you last saw it, and in the packet of additional pages you were provided for your budget document, there was, I think it was page 51, I want to say that, page 49, one. The development fund is where we've historically recorded the impact fee. We haven't always had this page included in the budget, but we believe we should be having it in there. So that page does summarize the revenues and expenditures that come. The revenues come from new development that are charged impact fees in accordance with the state law and our ordinances. And then the payments you then usually pass over to the debt service fund where those impact fees go to pay off debt that was borrowed for the larger projects. You can see on the revenue side, the last couple of years, 2010, we had nearly $800,540 in 2011. This year, we estimate we'll be at about $850,000 through September. We're at $750,000. And we've conservatively estimated 2013 at about $661,000. That will enable about $455,000 of that will go over to the debt service fund, but it does have about $250,000 of potential impact fee costs being funded through levy within the debt service fund. And as you're aware, we're currently in the process of an impact fee study, which is being performed, so you'll be getting more on that as we finish up the year. So when we start with a shortfall of $817,000, there's a couple different ways that the mayor in his proposed budget and then the common council acting through the committee of the whole for tonight's public hearing can look to try to balance the general fund. You can increase revenues, we can reduce services, or we can do what we're already doing and just try and figure out how to do it cheaper. As far as increasing revenues go, property taxes are nearly 70% of our general fund revenue, and those are stringently capped by actions of the state, so there's not a lot of movement that can be made there. As you recall from an earlier slide, our property taxes are going up about 0.2%, but the cap is only 0.63%, so there's very little room for added property taxes. Intergovernmental revenues, other state and federal aids, comprise another 11% of our budget, such as transportation aids. And again, those are largely outside of our ability to control. Utility tax, similarly, is another 5%. So between those three categories, you have 85% of our revenue, not very largely in the city's control. So as far as using that as a source to address the shortfall when we began the budget process, it would have left us having to take all of the other revenue sources that we have and figure out how to increase them 20% across the board, which isn't practical. So in the end, the ability to increase revenues to address the entire shortfall wasn't very practical. You could do some very limited increases in revenue, and, for example, in the building inspection area, this budget does anticipate a rate increase for the regular building permit fees, as is done every few years. They haven't been done since 2010. It does increase them. But, again, nothing in the neighborhood to address the kind of shortfall we're looking at. So the next option you have is to look at reducing services. Obviously, reducing services is not necessarily everybody's favorite thing to do because we are providing the services we provide because there's a history of need for them or a history of purpose. But nonetheless, when you look at sort of the recent history of efforts to reduce services, because we have become more efficient and reduce services over the recent years, In the municipal buildings, which is basically custodians, we've cut a position. Building inspection has been reduced by 5 positions, engineering by 1.5 positions, planning by 2 positions, and administration and human resources by 0.5 positions. So those sort of usual suspects to look for areas to reduce staffing, they've already received significant reductions. Since 2006, 40% of building inspection has been eliminated, and of those departments altogether, 25% of them have been of the positions have been eliminated. So we can't really go to the usual departmental suspects for reducing services without seriously impacting the ability of those departments to maintain the current service levels at all. So if we take a look at the broader pattern of expenditures and see where you think they could be cut, if one were to continue to want to look at reducing services, what this graph shows is back in 1997, 48%, 49% of what the city was spending was on police and fire department services. About 31% was, well, and about 20% was public works, and the rest of the city services were about 30%. Since that 1997 time, we're now up to nearly 62% of the city expenditures in the general fund are now for police and fire department. Public works has sort of held its own and maintained itself at just under the 20% level, whereas all the other city departments have seen a relative loss of nearly 40% as they dropped from 31% of the total to under 20%. That being the case, it might suggest that I'm implying that if we're going to look to cut services, we should be looking to police and fire departments. However, if you look at police and department spending per capita, of the 23 municipalities in the state with a population of between 30 and 150,000, in 2010, Franklin was the 20th lowest with $201.53 per person. The high of those 23 municipalities was at 387. The average was 229, so we were low and we were below average. Only Eau Claire, Janesville, and Oshkosh were lower. That information, I didn't sit and call all of those communities, but Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance does. And they print a book with all of these facts. So that's sort of our source for it. It's a statewide book that is prepared and used broadly across the state. And other sections of that talk about general government. Of those 23, we were the 16th lowest. Street maintenance, the 21st lowest. Fire and ambulance, 13th lowest. And combined, they have a category that we were at the 21st lowest. And they have another category they call operating spending per capita. And we were 22nd lowest out of 23 communities in our size classification. Effectively, that report shows that we're either very frugal and efficient or we're not providing comparable services, when in fact we know we're a full-service city providing largely comparable services. So when this proposed budget presumes this city should continue to provide at least its current level of core services. It does not propose balancing the general fund through reducing services. So that leaves looking at do what we do cheaper. Well, 81% of the general fund expenditures are for personnel. We are a personnel-intensive organization. Acts 10 and 32, if upheld again, there's all sorts of different actions happening at different levels of state and federal court. But at this point, those two acts give the city a significant ability to control personnel costs. So this budget does look at controlling labor costs. while trying to maintain certain good standard human resources practices. It did eliminate any request for new staff, although there is one reclassification of a position anticipated in the court area, looking at some restructuring occurring at the time of retirement that sort of leading to reevaluating the service provision, and reclassification of one position in engineering. It reduced the overtime requests in police and fire department, did provide for some increase in each area, but limited that increase to $10,000 in each area. One of the major changes is anticipating health plan design changes to encourage more consumerism in the use of health care by employees, trying to get them to appropriately shop around for health care to a degree, and continue the migration towards a private sector plan design. So we looked at a lot of individual aspects of the health plan, looked at what more typical private sector plan provided health plans have, and patterned some of those things, such as higher deductible levels, for example. This enabled anticipating reduction in the health premium by about 6%. At the same time, that migration towards more standard private sector plans, we anticipate employee health premium contributions increasing from 10% to 12%. State statute does require that as the two labor contracts we have for police and fire employees expire, new employees hired since the implementation of the law will need to contribute to the pension plan as required under state law. And then there will be a public safety contribution to retirement is anticipated in this budget. For both police and fire, those need to be negotiated. But I can tell you that the fire unit just this past week did ratify a tentative agreement. And so in short order, I'll be bringing forward to the Common Council for consideration a change 2013, 14, and 15 contract for the firefighters local unit that is in line with what was anticipated in this budget document. And it does anticipate some wage increases that were comparable to other negotiated comparables, but again, it's consistent with the budget. The budget does build in a 1% pay raise for non-represented employees on January 1st and a 1% on July 1st. And general increasing the pension contribution in the retirement plan for general employees from what is 4.2% up to 5%. And that would then raise them to the same level as general WRS employees across the state are paying, which is a 50% share as is broadly done across the state based on Act 10 and Act 32. There will be some changes to the DPW retirement plan. The specifics still need to be worked out. We had initially anticipated migrating them, those employees which are in a defined contribution plan to the defined benefit plan, but we are looking under switching that around. They're in a defined benefit plan, moving them to a defined contribution plan, but we're looking at our options, still having those same cost impacts, but being able to maintain the current plan, but the cost savings necessary was maintained within the proposed budget. So of the different strategies for reducing the budget, the one that enabled us to move forward and that is presented to the public for their input this evening is where we're doing what we're doing cheaper. And in doing that, then I the next step would be sort of summarizing then some of the primary initiatives and impacts that you see through the budget. Some of it will be pieces that I've already mentioned, but it sort of summarizes it in a different form or fashion. The first thing, again, that broad overview from the beginning, it preserves and maintains our service level without a tax rate increase. And in fact, it's a 0.1% tax rate decrease. There are no layoffs anticipated in this budget as proposed. Human resource wage and benefit changes I just talked about. That's a primary initiative within the budget. The library fund, property tax support, $18,000 of the total levy increase of $42,000 goes to the library fund. That's 42% of the increase in new property tax dollars. We do have moderate increases to police and fire overtime, and there's no increase in the solid waste recycling fee. There is a $30,000 for outside legal services, which is to support the city attorney as may be needed relative to current workload and issues. And that's based on a recent influx of large, complex projects of significant importance, such as the effort he's put to fight the water rate increase attempting to be imposed on the city's water users and by the Oak Creek Utility District. And we put this in to help make sure that other core operating issues that require legal input, we can make sure to get the necessary guidance on. There are two staff classification changes that I mentioned, one in municipal court, one in engineering. We continue through the Public Works Department the Emerald Ash Borer program, which was the city's moving forward with earnest due to the significant number of ash trees throughout our community. The contingency has $123,000 in it. That will cover, sufficient to cover some increases that may end up having to be borne as the county has changed the rules on how they're charging out election charges. It provides some money if the Common Council in the future wants to add specific budget abilities for Ford Franklin Economic Development Commission, for example. And it continues its current support of the St. Martin's Fair and civic celebrations. Another one that I haven't mentioned to this point is performing an interim market update. Periodically, the city has done a revaluation, and we've always done a full revaluation. There is another methodology or option offered by the state, which is a statistical property revaluation, if you've done a revaluation, a full revaluation, within the last 5 years, which we have. By using an interim market update, we're able to do a revaluation and sort of realign market and property valuations with the market, which has had some significant fluctuations in the last couple of years, as I'm sure everyone's aware. But we can do that and save $18,000 over what would have been our normal cost in the next 2 years if we followed our past practice and did a full revaluation in 2013. So this budget does anticipate doing and following the interim market update, which is a specific authorization that the state has assessing. Summarizing here then, the budget as proposed is $86,942 below the levy limit. As we said, the state allowed us to increase our levy by 0.63%. We did it just 0.2%. As far as the expenditure restraint cap goes, we're still significantly under the the expenditure restraint cap that is allowed. What we have done each of the last couple of years is preserve some of that room under the cap for potential revenue growth other than levy growth. And that is something that, as we've done each of the last 4 or 5 years, we bring back to you with some detail at your meeting on November 13th. And it's just always worth noting with the budget, it is just a financial plan. People should expect fluidity with the budget because it does change some. From when the mayor first submitted his budget, the Committee of the Whole did make a number of changes, and just about every one of them was a reaction to change state revenue numbers. We still have one state revenue number they haven't reported to us yet, and then through the year we have a process in our ordinance where we can amend the budget as needs and demands and situations change. November 13th is the Common Council meeting on the adopted schedule, where they will take the Common Council is expected to take the input that they gather from the citizens this evening and deliberate and adopt the budget and set a tax rate. And that is the calendar and timeline that was adopted, and you can see we're on the last two steps, which is today's November 5th public hearing with the special Common Council meeting on November 13th for adoption of the budget. That's the presentation.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Liberta. I would, Alderman Taylor, Steve Taylor, asked me to convey that he could not be here tonight because of personal reasons, but he wanted me to assure his constituents that he would be listening to the audio tapes of this meeting tonight. The other thing is, I received a number of requests for extension to Marquette Avenue from one is Lauren Birch. Actually, it was to Mr. Liberta, but I was CC'd on many of these. Michael and Angela Beadle asking for support. A lot of the support in these emails has to do with the congestion at the school. Jason Kaz and safety. Jason Kazmierczyk wrote, you should have this in front of you, Paige CQ, also in support, Tracy Sagan, Woodland Drive, Laura Wojnikowski asked for that there be support for this. Kate Mute also asked for support for the extension of Marquette Avenue. Fred Arbanella, again in support, name that we all know from the past. Sherry Hanneman is also requesting support, says that it's very congested and would make the situation safer. Jean Kriesel, another name that all of us know from the past, is also asking for support. Mark Schmidt, Jim Lucky, currently the president of the Historical Society and kind of an all-right guy, in my opinion, asking for support. David Friends continues his request for support. David has been asking for the extension of Marquette Avenue for many years for many reasons. Mary Starr asked for support. Lisa from LS Fitness asking for support. And Rosemary Musa. There's also Jan Riley, lives on Marquette Avenue, asking for support. David Works, many if not all of us know David, a former school board member. Dr. Chuck Tai has his facility over on Rawson Avenue, is asking for support. Ruth Luzinski is asking for support. Mark Mundell is asking for support. Is it looking at the address on this? The Spikester is the name of from asking for support.
That's Sigodowski's.
Okay. The Spikesters? So.
Tom and Helen Godowski.
Okay, Tom and Helen Godowski.
Steve Taylor's sister.
And Jane Kazmierczyk, also asking for support. And They wanted that to be reflected in the public hearing. And with that, I will open this up for public hearing. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the public hearing on the 2013 budget? Yes, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Tim Birch, 7466 South 46th Street. I live in the corner of 46th and Marquette, and I also am here to provide my support for the extension of Duper Street West, or sorry, Marquette West of Duper Street.
All right, thanks. Anyone else wishing to speak on the public hearing?
My name is Marlon Tibbetts, and I live on 46th Street. I'm concerned about the traffic, yes. But there's one other concern that could be much more concerned, really, and that is safety. With all of the cars that are on the street on 46th Street and the cars coming and going, let's say that you have an accident at the school. Could be a car accident, could be a child. How is the help going to get there? They're not going to make it. As long as this is budget, who's going to pay for all of this? There's going to be a lawsuit if that happens. And I'm very much concerned about that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir, if you could please state your name and address for the record.
Mark Schmidt, 4909 West Rawson Avenue. I'm in support for the extension also all the way to 51st Street. Long overdue, and I agree with the names you read off there also. It's almost a no-brainer. It's long overdue.
Thank you for coming down tonight.
Kurt Bolton, 8035 West Imperial Drive. I'm about the street program, too. I did note that there was some concern that might not be sustainable, funding the roads at the level that's been done over the last few years. And I guess what surprises me is that there really isn't any information to make any kind of informed decision as to whether it really is sustainable or not. One way it could be done is looking at depreciation. I know I thought somewhere in the report they talked about roads in the last 30 years, and if that's the case, well, then we're way underfunding. Another way of looking at it would be PASER ratings, see how they're changing over the years, and looking at PASER backlogs. I think that's something both the Common Council and the citizens should have information to. And I don't know if it's something that could be done for this budget, but I would hope that in previous, or I should say future budgets, that would be available. And I guess I'd also like to offer support for the extension of Marquette Avenue. I think it really is needed. I don't live in that particular district, but under the Trails Committee, we did look at it, and I know if I was living in that district, I really want to see a road go through, too. So.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. Mr. Mayor, did I hear you saying that list of names that's supporting that road was Mother Teresa one of them?
No.
There was some name that sounded almost like Mother Teresa, and I would suppose that she might be in favor of it if I heard you correctly. But nevertheless, I too am concerned about the safety of kids. Now, I don't live right in that particular area. I live not too far away, maybe a mile. But I know that if one of my kids or grandkids or one of my great-grandkids was going to that school, and if there was even a possibility of one of them getting hurt, you can bet your boots that I would be up here screaming and hollering. Now, going back 4, 5, or 6 years, excuse me, I think I remember that the council voted in favor of putting that road in, but it never was funded. Am I correct on that? I'm sure I was here that night. I don't think my memory is failing me yet. So if the council passed it, what's the problem with funding it? I know it's money, but we should look at trying to find some money to fund that school, or fund that road up there, because we certainly don't want any kids, most of all, we don't want any kids run over, hurt, and seriously hurt or killed. That would be the worst scenario if somebody was killed, and it may happen. Now, Mr. Mayor, if you will indulge me just for a minute, because I might not get back here to the next council meeting. But I understand that Tim Solomon's going to retire here pretty quick, and you can bet your boots that this city's going to miss him because he's done a great job in the jobs that he has held. He has watched out for not only the people in his district, but he's worked very hard for the entire city. So my personal thanks to you, Tim, for all the hard work you've done. And another guy I hear is retiring, is Fire Chief Jim Martin. Well, shame on you. Jim, you worked with the group of seniors back when I was president of them. As you know, I didn't run because I didn't want to do it anymore. I'd done it for 17 years, and you worked with us very closely, and I thank you for that, and I wish you well in your retirement.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Yes. My name is Walter Havlewitz. I live on the corner of Marquette and 49. The gentleman before me was correct. I was at that meeting also. It was proposed a road for safety for the children, which I agree with a temporary rope across that a truck, emergency vehicle, a car could break. What it was a chain with, I believe, a plastic thing, a notch to break. Even a vehicle could break it. It was passed, but never, it had to be reasonable. Now they're proposing a two-lane road, which they'll have to take on private property, 249th Street, I believe. I was approached a couple years ago, and I owned to 51st from 49th. And they said, the city will buy your land. And I said, well, what will they pay me? They need a half acre, 60 foot of frontage up from me. They will pay you what an acre is worth. If it's worth $10,000, we'll pay you half, $5,000. Okay, who's going to pay for the improvements? Well, you are. And what will that be? $600,000 at that time, they told me. I don't have that kind of money. I was told when the sewer went through on 51st Street, in fact, I do have affidavits from people that paid one way when the sewer went through both ways on their land on corner lots near me. Well, I paid on 51st Street. I paid on 49th Street. Now they want to sewer down my land, which I'm opposing. If it does come to that, I will get a federal injunction and fight it with my attorney. So I'm for a road to 49th Street. Mr. Bennett told me they don't take land away anymore because we had a buyer for my land that would have paid for a road, but we couldn't get it from the neighbors. And we said, use public domain. And he said, we don't use that anymore. So whatever, but I don't have $600,000. When the road went through on 51st Street, the sewer, I paid over $100,000. I was told I would have seven lots to sell. I gave one away to my son. I sold another one. That's two lots. One lot I sold. Meanwhile, I did not recoup my money that I invested in the road, and the rest of the lots I was told you can't go on 51st Street. You have to make your own road behind your houses. We don't want cars backing up. That was Mr. Bennett's words. He also told me that I would have seven lots. Well, he didn't say you won't have them. He said you can't back up cars. Well, to fight that, the people could put cul-de-sacs and drive around and drive out. But he wants a road by public people because the city don't pay for roads. So I'm against the road going from 49th to 51st. I'm definitely against it, and so is my attorney.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Liberta, my understanding is this is for a listening session for the benefit of the public and the aldermen, and that the budget will be voted on or can be voted on the next common council meeting, which I think is November 13th, is that correct?
Correct. The budget schedule has that as the night of deliberation and adoption.
So we do not have this as an action item tonight?
No, you do not.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, Mayor, I think it's important that I at least try to make some comments back to many of the people who spoke in favor of the 49th Street Marquette extension, which doesn't include the land that Mr. Habowitz just spoke on. He's the next lot over, so it would not impact him at this time, and at a future date that probably will come up. Maybe I won't be in office at that time, but hopefully it'll work out for him when that happens. I want the council and the constituents to know that I worked with staff to identify money in the budget for this. There wouldn't be a tax increase. Previously, this was put in the budget under the capital improvement when that was not acted upon, as people noted here several times, several years ago it was approved. That money fell to the fund balance, so the money could be transferred back into the capital improvement. And I would support making that recommendation on the night when we adopt the budget. And that's my suggestion. I'm asking my colleagues to hopefully go along with you, all of you. Many of you, you know, that have written in are not even from the district and fully support this. So it's like the one gentleman said, seems to be a no-brainer. I would like to, you know, put this issue behind us. My daughter was an issue when she was 5 going to school. She's 21 now. The problem is still there. I think it's time that we address what the people want to use their tax dollars for, and I think we heard that pretty clear. I did just receive a memo here tonight that maybe you should all know about. The same parcel to the south is a parcel that is in need of a park access, and they are also looking for money for that. I do want you to know I am in support of that park access. This is something that Alan Solomon has been working on with the Parks District. There would be park fees for that. Again, there would be funds available. However, I would be totally opposed to actions of a parkland going to empty park properties before we take care of this issue. That was previously approved by the council and is a much higher priority, in my opinion. So any motion that happens at the council meeting, I would look that my constituents would understand that the intention, and the council would understand the intention, would be that this road would take the higher priority. Thank you.
Okay. Alderman Olson.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I've supported some connection to Marquette Avenue since this item came up. It was actually Alderman Soames, Friday, Alderman Hamelman at the time, to get this going, because Alderman Soames saw it as a safety hazard, not necessarily for pedestrians, but should there be an event at the school that needed public safety help quickly from multiple access points. And I jumped on that too. I've always supported making a second connection there. That got derailed when the 46th Street plan, 44th Street plan, the Easterly plan got sidelined by the DNR, which I thought made perfect sense. Where I go south on this package is when we start talking about a temporary road with a chain crossing. No. You do it right or you don't do it at all.
Thank you.
This plan, you're welcome, but it's all in the Lawrence District. This plan that was proposed by Mr. Liberta, I will support. It does not increase the tax levy. Dollars are there, and I'm all in favor.
Okay. Alderman Schmidt.
Well, obviously, this is a project that's been going on long before I joined the Common Council, and given all the outpouring of support for it that you've heard tonight, and the fact that this has been something that's been kind of tabled for an indefinite period,
anything further? I guess what I'd add is that Alderman Wilhelm did contact me regarding this issue, asked me to contact the staff to look at, to see if there were available funds or funds could be shifted. As long as the tax levy, there's no tax levy increase and the tax rate is not going to increase, my comment is I would support this. And I think also that the issue finally has some real clarity. Yes, there's always been a safety issue, but the issue is congestion at the school and people getting in and out of the proposal. I would remind my colleagues that this item has taken many different approaches. You might remember that there was a Catholic church interested in purchasing some land here, and that there was a proposal from a development group that also was looking at coming in and putting in a facility, and along with that, both of them were approached with having to pay for a future road that would go all the way through. I think the last thing is we're always talking about proper planning. From my perspective, I really do not understand how it is that Marquette Avenue never went through in the first place. To me, former altar boy, it's kind of a mortal sin in planning that Marquette Avenue did not go all the way through from 51st Street down to 35th. And so because of, call it poor planning, all of us are saddled with an issue that's been going on here for 6 or 7 years. So with that, like I said, I support the proposal. I also want to thank the aldermen for their work on this budget. Mr. Liberta, I want to thank you for, this is your first budget taking full control. Paul, thank you very much. Gal, thank you as well. And there's a lot of hours, time and hours and resources that went into this, so thank you. Alderman Wilhelm?
I just want to make the point that you heard from three of the aldermen in favor. I believe it would take 4 votes on the 13th to pass it. Is that correct, Mayor?
My understanding is a simple majority, but we might as well clarify. We have the city attorney sitting right next to me. So, city attorney?
Majority of a quorum president voting to originally adopt a budget, 2/3 of all members to amend it thereafter.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to move on to the next item. Some of those of you that are here from Marquette may want to stay. This is kind of a nice concept review. Maybe not. May want to go see the football game. Thank you. By the way, thank you all for coming down tonight. It's not the nicest weather out there, but it really does pay to voice your opinion at these public hearings. And with that, who's going to do the introductions for item B? Nick. I didn't see you, Nick. Nick Fuchs, super planner from Planning Division, is with us tonight. Is that the official title, super planner?
I think so. Yeah, so it's on my card.
Okay, Nick, what do you got for us?
Just a brief introduction. This is a concept review for proposed Quick Trip gas station, convenience store, and two-bay car wash adjacent to the Menard store on West Speedway Drive. The development will conform to the M1 district standards. The applicant is proposing to utilize the alternative minimum landscape surface ratio of 0.30 opposed to the standard 0.40. They are showing about 35% green space currently. The site plan shows 32 parking spaces, which is a reduction of approximately 35% from the UDO standard parking ratio, and that is allowed subject to plan commission approval. The building will be constructed of brick with stucco accents and a standing seam metal roof. A special use application will be required if the project moves forward. Otherwise, the applicant representative of Quick Trip is here and can present some additional information and answer any questions.
Okay. There's a familiar face. How are you doing?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. My name is Troy Malesba, real estate manager with Quick Trip. Thanks for hearing our concept review this evening. Just to kind of echo Nick's comments, what we're proposing is a development of kind of a vacant land out in front of Menards. The lot we're proposing would be approximately half of the acreage between Waterstone Bank and the other four dealerships to the north. What we're showing here is a concept perspective drawing, which would be taken from essentially Speedway Drive at kind of a higher elevation, so you can see the different buildings in play. Fueling canopy, as well as the convenience store itself, and then the double bay car wash. What we're proposing here would be a LEED certified facility, certified by the U.S. Green Building Council. With that, you see some higher quality materials, concrete instead of asphalt, skylights in the building, utilizing natural daylight, a lot of windows, high efficiency lighting, electrical fixtures, plumbing fixtures in the building, and a use of quality materials with brick throughout the building, standing seam metal roof. The mechanicals themselves will be recessed on the roof and behind the parapet wall. a plan with this to bring in for additional or special use permits and then go through the approval process with hopes to construct next year.
Just a clarification, do all the aldermen have the plan in front of them? Okay. Alderman Olson.
Mr. Mayor, you and I just finished. maybe we didn't finish.
But you just took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, we talked about this, I think. But as I was going to say, you want to say it with me, but...
we'll be happy to.
We just went through a project after a concept review in front of the Common Council that, for you and I think, and staff, was a disaster. Disaster might be a little strong, but our ability to discuss options with the applicant was substantially limited based on their perception of the support they got from the County Council. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to offer you any comments tonight. I think concept reviews in front of the Common Council bind the Common Council, even though it's legally not supposed to, and it causes our staff a lot of grief, and it substantially limits our ability to negotiate for changes in the future. Now, having said that, the last gas station we proposed and approved was Andy's on 51st and Ross. At the time, I said this is the last gas station I would vote for. Driving down this street, like entrance on Speedway, not good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, just to maybe highlight what Alderman Olson said. As you all, I think all of you are aware, concept reviews used to take place at the Plan Commission. There was substantial outcry that the process for business development was very, very slow, and that there was also a lot of concern from developers and the development community that people would come in for a concept review with the Plan Commission thinking that they were doing okay, go through months and months and months of proposals and seeking consultants, et cetera, spending on some projects tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so in order to speed up the process, it was recommended that the concepts come here. Now, we have had, we've had a problem with at least one project. But it's not necessarily because the concept reviews are coming to the council. Again, this is my opinion. It's that this gentleman is basically, the concept review is looking to find out from you, the policymakers, is this something that he and his company should pursue, or is he on the wrong track? Not really looking for approval tonight. It's more or less, as Alderman Olson has just indicated, he's not really in favor of another gas station in the city. So if I were you, I would say that I would chalk that one down as a no. So there's a big difference between maybe giving a thumbs up that, yes, generally we're in support of this versus yes, we're overwhelmingly endorsing this, and you have our full support, and you need to make no further changes whatsoever. And I think some companies have got that impression after having a concept review with the council. And when I go into further negotiations with them or the staff or the alderman of the district, it really presents a big problem in limiting the amount of negotiations that can take place. So, but I think if you want to continue to improve the image of the city as far as being more business friendly, I would still keep the concept reviews here. Alderman Skransky?
Well, seeing that this development is in my district, I've sat down with the petitioner and he has sat down with the planning department, and we've done several revisions to make it fit properly, keep more open space, have good quality material that will be put into the building, bring a development into the building that is needed. I've talked with all the area business people around this particular lot, and they're all in favor of this development going in. They have good concern of having a quality building which will match up to the commercial buildings that are there now. They have seen this. I've taken it around and showed them. I think Troy has too, talked with a few of them. And I think it's a good development. I definitely was opposed to any entrance off of Highway 100. DOT wouldn't give it to them anyway. I think coming off of Speedway Drive is a more logical entrance to that building. It keeps the traffic slow. It makes it accessible. It will complement Menards. They're, by all means, they're definitely in favor of it. Of course, they're selling the land. Why wouldn't they be? They're happy to get another piece of land off of their tax roll and put it on his. But I think it's a very good development. I am going to support it 100%. And I realize everybody has their own opinion. But I think for economic development in this community, it shows your true colors when it comes down to helping a business, and the quality of what they're putting into it makes a difference. So I'm in total support of this development.
Alderman Olson?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. My issue with concept reviews and plan commission was very simple. There were several proposals that came through the plan commission that just weren't in sync with the common council. They weren't on the same page. And I think you'll all remember that my suggestion was we have a joint meeting with the plan commission. That didn't happen. Instead, it came here. Personally, I'd rather see them go back to the plan commission if you had a meeting with the plan commission in advance to lay out the sense of the common council. So that's enough of that.
Okay. Well, I don't want to dampen it, the spirits of the council too much. I mean, the reason that this gentleman is here with his development, what is the value of the project?
We don't have a final figure on it yet, but it's definitely a multi-million dollar investment.
Is to basically find out if you're in favor of this type of proposal. Does it look generally okay if, in fact, they meet the natural resources protection components, the retention ponds, the architectural standards, the uniform or unified development ordinance standards, things of that nature. Like I said, they are making a multi-million dollar investment. I support the project, and I'll tell you why. One, it's I think what's brought in is it's a gas station, but it's a very, very nice looking gas station. It's also tucked into an area that Menards and others have had great difficulty in bringing development to. We now live in a state where it's not that you want to raise taxes, but if you have to raise taxes to cover wage increases, it's by net new construction. So this certainly meets the test. As Alderman Skronsky has said, I asked the developer to go out along with the alderman and meet with Hiller Ford and all the businesses in the area. The general thing I get back from all of those businesses, Gus's, Rosati's, Hiller Ford, Judge Wambach's, Judge Wambach's condos are over there, is they're very much in support of the project coming in. So obviously I wouldn't have brought this forward if I didn't think it was a good project. So Alderman Solomon, Alderman Skronsky.
Initially, when I looked at this, I thought it was looked like a decent development. However, I do understand we've got some UDO things to work on and negotiate and move forward on. My only concern is, are you going to be selling beer or alcohol there?
We'd like to. Our typical convenience store would have a beer can.
Okay.
Yeah. kit where it's a walk-in cooler.
Yeah.
All of your product would be in.
Similar to the 7-Eleven over here. That's fine and dandy. However, those aren't the rules for Speedway, which is right down the street. So it puts them at a competitive disadvantage as we move forward. So that's something the council is probably going to have to address here.
They may apply to.
No, I do believe that was a criteria from the Planning Commission and previous common councils that they couldn't sell alcohol at a gas station.
Like I say, they can't apply.
So,
you have the floor.
As we move forward, the council is going to have to look at that.
That's right.
Anyone else?
Yes. On the water retention, when the development was put together in Menards, the water retention pond was made large enough to accommodate the remaining lots that no other retention pond would be needed at any other until full development is done, and that pond would be satisfactory to take care of them because there are two ponds there, not one, two. So,
do you have any questions for the council?
No, I guess at this point, not to toot our own horn a lot, but as QuickTrip as a company, I think we pride ourselves on not being not just another gas station. The last 2 years, the Journal Sentinel's done a survey of top employers in Southeast Wisconsin.
Right.
And QuickTrip has had first place 2 years in a row for large companies. Nowhere else in the country has that been done by folks who conducted these surveys. So we're a Wisconsin company. We're not a franchise in Shell or ExxonMobil, Wisconsin-based company looking to hire local people. So I'm probably close to 30 folks working at it. It's as successful as we think it will be. Like I mentioned, a multi-million-dollar investment. And we're not a franchise, so when we invest in something, we plan on holding it for the long term. I think Franklin's a community that we'd like to be in.
Alderman Schmidt?
So the question is, if bogged down, are there any DNR issues or is there any permits that you need to obtain that we don't wind up losing?
Don't ask Nick that.
No, the site is currently vacant. There's no natural resource features located on the site, so it's pretty ready and prepped for development.
On that vein, though, I know that when you first came in and talked to me, you were talking about getting access off of Highway 100. The Department of Transportation, my understanding is that no. To any more access. Not unusual these days. But,
I don't have any other answer.
Correct, that's our understanding. When the Menards development was approved on the CSM, there was actually an access restriction placed on those lots fronting on Highway 100 so that future access would come from Speedway Drive.
What we've heard from the Alderman, what has been your understanding of the businesses in the area regarding you coming into that area?
Echoing the same comments, very supportive, excited to have more retail synergy in that area, something that folks will now, if you're filling your car, you look around and you see businesses that maybe you're driving by at 35, 40 miles an hour before, and you see kind of the neighborhood around there in terms of what opportunities are up on top of the hill, the shopping center, and folks around there. So we've been really well received by the neighbors.
Okay. Anyone else? Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I know the comment was made that the stormwater basin would have been sized to include all the development, but I find that hard to calculate if you don't know what type of development is going there. For example, a gas station will have more parking or more asphalt than another one, so I would still think there would be some calculations of surface.
Yeah, I think my understanding, I don't have the details specifically, but my understanding is when you do a general overall development, when you size storm ponds, you would size them for a certain percentage of impervious surface.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get farther into that, Nick made a comment on it farther as well, but that's my understanding here, that they were master planned to handle a certain volume, a certain amount of impervious surface.
Right, and I guess I'd like to see, how many, is that the only lot left?
Three
more. So I guess I'd like to see what the ratio would be, this one would take up versus what ratio is left for the other ones. If this one takes up less, that's great, but if it takes up a ratio that's greater than and leaves those other lots less developable or less, worthy for that, that might be something we need to know about as we're trying to decide on this. I was also trying to see, not that this is a real walking destination, but I was trying to understand the walking connection between the two facilities, and I didn't really see any real safe pedestrian crosswalks or walkways, or, you know, if I went over to Menards and wanted to buy something and then I wanted to just quick, you know, go over here, do I have to get in my car and drive over here, or can I safely walk there and just go over and grab, you know, some milk or something or whatever?
Yeah, we can definitely explore that. I don't think at this point we've really delved into that in more detail, but that's something we can definitely look at.
Okay, thank you.
Any other, do you have any other questions for the council? Alderman Schmidt?
So this would be a 24-hour operation?
Correct.
We've had some debate in the city of late on 24-hour operations. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Different area.
Yeah, I guess for us, from our perspective, on operating perspective, being open 24 hours, we always have more than one person on staff. Typically what we do in those nighttime hours is, if we're not busy, you know, putting the product away for the next day, cleaning some of the house maintenance type things that need to get done. When the store isn't busy, but you know, some people will stop at night, third shift, or some people coming out all hours of the day, somebody running out for a gallon of milk, things like that. So from our perspective as a brand to across the state, if someone's coming to Franklin from Green Bay, vice versa, they get that brand recognition of Quick Trip and what that means.
Let me put you on the spot. From what you've heard so far, do you feel that you would move forward on this project?
I think for us, I think Quick Trip would love to be in Franklin. I think we've got a good site and an opportunity here. Obviously, we explore this more as we go through the process, but I think as a community, Franklin, someone would definitely like to be.
Okay. I mean, just basically from what I'm hearing is that need to really do some real convincing to some of the elected people on the council. And tonight we had a public hearing where people either wrote letters or got up and testified. I think you saw the result of that. The businesses in the area, my suggestion to you, should not stay silent. They should come forward and contact the elected officials and let them know their opinions on this.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else? All right. If there's nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I have it. Motion carries. Sure.